She's been through all that. She's been through the good, the bad, the bad, the bad, the bad, the good, the process. All of it she's been through. So let's give Kelly another hand. Thank you, sweetie. Amen is right. Amen is right. So tonight, however you have the Bible, it doesn't matter however you can see the word tonight, it is going to be up on the screen, but whether it's an app, the phone, the Bible, whether it's a hardcover, softcover, it doesn't matter. The Word of God needs to be in our lives, and you're going to see that in reality tonight when I share with you. And I'm going to be sharing a very personal story with you tonight, and then I'm going to be sharing a story from the Word of God tonight, and I hope it blesses your life. So let me pray. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. God, I stand here because of you. I stand here to represent you, and I stand here to share your word. And Lord, let it go forth and help somebody the way it helped me in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, that's three amens. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes, that's four. Sometimes I go through pretty fast and miss some amens. But if you want to go to your Bible, two main scriptures is going to be Matthew 25 and Genesis 1. So if you, Matthew 25, Genesis 1, that's going to be the main scriptures tonight. If you could get there and turn there, that would be awesome. And I will not be long tonight. Fear. I like to define fear. If you look up on the screen, fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. It also means be afraid of someone or something as likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. There are six basic human fears that we have. The fear of poverty. The symptoms of that are indifference, doubt, worry, overcautious, and procrastination. There's fear of criticism, fear of ill health, fear of the loss of a loved one, fear of old age, and fear of death. These are the main fears that you and I carry around with us every day. And I'm going to share a story tonight about myself in a moment, how I have allowed fear to become a reality in my life. Now, if you could imagine tonight that these pine cones, I was hoping for an acorn, but, you know, in an oak tree, and oak trees are strong and stuff like that, but God had a different plan. We're going into the Christmas season. But if you could imagine this pine cone as being a talent tonight, a talent can be many things. As I'm going to share, a talent, use your imagination as this pine cone, a talent from God, a gift from God. It could be a natural strength, an incredible ability. It could be a seed that we sow into the ground. You could be gifted financially, emotionally, intelligently, and spiritually with a talent. And it all comes from God. And stay with me. I got a story to tell you. How many of you know I don't have it together? Can you give me an amen? Right there. That hurt. I'm preaching. So when I was a very little boy, going through a lot of bad circumstances in my childhood, one of my greatest dreams and desires was to be a great husband and a great father. Today, I'm living that dream and those desires. But today, I've also created some fears in my life that have become a reality. Two of my fears is the fear of my family being destroyed and ripped apart. That comes from a destructive pattern that I watched my mom. I also have the fear of not seeing my children again. These are two things you may not know about me. And where that comes from is my mom and my dad splitting apart. And my dad leaving the home at a very young age for many, many reasons that I don't know, but he left. And this story is not about my parents, whether they did a good job or not a good job, because I am blessed to have them as my parents. And my dad is probably going to listen to this later, and Dad, I love you, and I care dearly about you. But this story is about how I have let past circumstances become a reality in my life. So I just want to kind of give you a story about my morning and what my morning looks like. And you're probably going to think it's a little crazy, and it probably is a little crazy. And I'm trying to hone that in. But from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m., I'm trying to fit in as much stuff as I possibly can for this guy. I'm reading, I'm studying, and I'm working out, and I'm eating and trying to take care of myself sometime between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. And then 7 a.m. comes. And this is where it gets real interesting. We have five human beings in my house, and this is where they all start interacting with each other and trying to get ready for the day. And this is where these feelings and these fears inside of me become alive, and they become real, and they become my reality. 8 o'clock to 8:20 is when it really starts, when these feelings really start. You want to know why? Because from 8 o'clock to 8:20, there's so many things that I'm trying to do. Hugs, kisses, prayers, speak positive things over myself and my family, and making sure I have enough food for the day. And oh my God, one of the kids is starting to cry. One of the kids is not listening. Frustration's starting to happen. My wife's starting to get frustrated. I'm trying to give you this reality that is in my life. Things are feeling a little out of control. And if my wife knows exactly what I'm talking about. My mind and body are starting to be flooded with emotions. And I'm starting to hold and take control. I'm feeling like things are falling apart. I literally feel like things are falling apart. So I'm squeezing and holding on to these emotions. I'm holding on to them as tight as I possibly can, and I'm making them a reality. I'm literally holding on to my past. Those fears and emotions are real inside of me. And I'm recreating these emotions and feelings from my past experience. And this could happen daily. This could happen on a daily basis for me. I'm holding so tight of my fears. I'm not able to go after my real blessing because I'm holding so tight to these fears. And what I'm doing is I'm literally taking my wife's blessings and I'm holding them and squeezing them and I'm tearing them apart. I'm literally spiritually and emotionally suffocating my wife. I am blocking my wife's blessing to be a mother, to be a homemaker, to be a guider, a planner, a protector, a lover of my children, a corrector, and a multitasker. Not because of her, but because I'm trying to hold on to what I'm afraid of. The fear is so strong, and I hold so tightly. So about a week, maybe a couple weeks ago, I was sitting. We'll get that cleaned up later, Pastor. Sorry about that. So a couple weeks ago, I was sitting there with some friends, and we were in a meeting, and I actually shared these with them. I shared these fears with my friends and the leaders, and I didn't share quite to that emotional extent. And we talked a little bit about them, and then we moved on. And later that day, I started reflecting on what I had told them and what I was thinking about. I was thinking, should I have even shared them? Are they going to think I'm weak? And are they going to think I'm not a great leader? Our beliefs drive our behavior. My beliefs, my fears drive my behavior. My old beliefs from my past circumstances, those old beliefs that things are falling apart, I'm holding them so tight that they're driving my circumstances, they're driving my current behavior to not let go and let my wife be a blessing in my home because I'm trying to take control. I'm feeling like things are falling apart, and they're really not, but they're my fears, and they're becoming my reality. So I'm sitting there reflecting that day, and all of a sudden, like I'm speaking to you right now, God of heaven spoke to my spirit and said to me, and this is in 2 Timothy 1:7, I literally heard this in my spirit. It said, I, God, have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I text them right away and I shared that with them. Can you give me an amen? Can you give me an amen? Okay. I have been operating out of a spirit of fear. If you could turn to Matthew 5, 24 through 28, I want to share another story with you. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered, and I was afraid. And went and hid your talent in the ground. Look there, you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown. You know I gathered where I have not scattered seed. You should have deposited the money in the bank, and at my coming I would have received back my own interest. Therefore, take the talent and give it to the one who has 10. Fear was the dominating emotion. It was stronger than the belief in the Lord's blessing. He knew his Lord was blessed. He watched the other servants take the talents and multiply what was given to them. But he was operating out of a spirit of fear. Our God is a God of blessings. He is not a God of holding and rotting. Catch that. He is not a God of holding and rotting. Amen. Our God is a God of abundance. God's laws are reaping or sowing and reaping. God is a God of increase, whether that is financially, emotionally, intellectually, or spiritually. I want to read another scripture. If you could go to Genesis 1, 27 through 29. And I'm out of the New King James Version. I'll give you just a moment. I'm going to take a sip of water. You've slowed down on your amens. Amen? Give me an amen. Genesis 1, 27 through 29. So God created man in his own image. And it's up on the screen. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to it shall be food. Why did this man hold and bury his talents? Why did he bury his seed? Why did he bury, the Bible talks about it as money, but this talent, use your imagination. It could be seed. It could be money. It could be energy. It could be a blessing. It could be your wife. It could be your talents with your hands. Whatever it is, it's God's talent and he's given it to you. Why did this man bury this talent? And I don't believe this was the first time this happened. I don't believe it was the first time it occurred in his life. I believe he was living day by day in a spirit of fear. Now, he was living in a spirit of poverty. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to mean the poverty you think of as money. We've always thought when somebody says poverty, we think of money. But the spirit of poverty is a spirit of lack. It's a spirit of shortage. It's a spirit of survival, scarcity, a mindset of holding, a mindset of lacking. He knew his Lord was a blessing. He knew his Lord was about multiplication. He knew his Lord was about more than enough sowing and reaping. But his mind, his body, his actions said something totally different. He took the talent and he buried it in the ground. Or in my case, he took it and held it and squeezed it so hard and made it such a reality to him. Matthew 25, if we back up a couple verses, 14 through 18, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servant and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and the other 2, and the other 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on the journey. Then he who had received 5 talents traded and with them and made another 5. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And likewise, the one that received 2 did the same. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid the Lord's money. This man knew of the servant's ability, to each according to his own will." He knew this. That's why he only gave him 1. I believe this was a test. I believe the Lord knew he was living in the spirit of fear. The test was, is he going to do what he's always done? Am I going to do what I have always done? Or is he going to let go and grow? Thank you, Pauly. Am I going to let go? Am I going to let go of those fears that I've created, the reality that I've created? Am I going to let go and let God? Am I going to let go and let my wife grow so she can receive her blessing? I'm holding back her blessing because I'm holding on to her blessing. I'm squeezing her blessing. I'm ruining her blessing because I have a fear. So I'm taking it and I'm ruining her blessing. I'm blocking my own blessing. I'm holding on to the old blessing and I won't take the new blessing. As a husband, as a father, as a protector, as a provider, that's the blessing I'm supposed to be going after. Not holding on to my old nature, my old fears. But not totally living in my own blessing. That's where I need to be living. I know God is abundant. I know God is a blessing. I know He has so many blessings for me. But I've been living in a spirit of fear. My fear has been driving my behavior. Hear this. If we hold on to all the past feelings, habits, emotions, we will never plant new seed. If I keep holding on, I'll never plant the new seed for the blessing. I will never do it. If we keep holding these seeds, we are holding back other blessings. What seeds are we holding because we are afraid? What seeds are we holding on to? What blessings are we blocking for ourselves because we are like the servant that won't let go? I'll take this another farther. Are we blocking somebody else's blessing because we won't let go of the seed? We must plant the seed. We must trust God. God is a planner. He is a sower. He is a reaper. He's a planner, a sower, and a reaper. He's a planner, a sower, and a reaper. I must align myself with God's nature if I'm truly going to be a blessed man. We need to let go of old habits, old emotions, old patterns, old places, and old things. If you look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any, and it's up on the screen, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Plant new seeds. There will be a harvest. The Bible tells us there will be a harvest. The Word tells us there will be a harvest. If you go to 2 Corinthians 9:10-11, and it's up on the screen, now may he who supplies the seed and bread of food supply and multiply the seed. You have sown and increased the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberty, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. I just want to illustrate why I put these props up. We want to see the fruits of the seeds of great people before me. I want to see the fruits of of Pastor Marty McDonald. I want to see his fruits. I want to see the fruit of everything that he's been sowing. But I want to take it a step farther. I want to see the fruit and I want to reap the harvest that he has planted. I do. I want it. But what I also want to do is as I enjoy his harvest, I want to take his seeds, his blessing, and take some of those seeds and replant them and see my own blessing. So that way, other people can see my harvest and take those seeds and create their own blessing, and the cycle begins. God is a sower and a reaper. Our nature should be sowing and reaping, not holding and rotting. Can you give me an amen?
Amen.
That's good. That's good. Amen. I need to line my spirit up with God. And if I'm holding on to those fears, I'm not lining up with nothing. I'm lining up with this old nature, this parable about this man that buried a seed in the ground because he was living in a spirit of fear. I've been acting like him. How do we overcome these fears in our life? First of all, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that is step number one. That is step number one. And if you don't know Jesus tonight, come see one of the leaders. I'll be standing here. I'll pray with you. We'll accept Jesus Christ. And you can go on this journey with Jesus. You guys like that picture? Don't block the blessing. Fighting through the walls, fighting through the barriers that are in your life. Don't block the blessing. We must understand God, the creator of all things. Proverbs 9:10. Here's that word again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This doesn't say be afraid. This doesn't say act in fear. It's the knowledge, the fear of God. Knowing God is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge brings understanding. 3 points, and then I'm closing. Can you give me an amen? Okay. Because I'm closing or I'm doing a good job? Thank you. Amen. So first of all, we have to seek God for understanding. Luke 10:27. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as well. Seek God for understanding. Second point is pray to God for understanding. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my way, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts are above my thoughts. I need to pray to God for his understanding. The last point is we have to read God's word for understanding. If I never read God's word, if I never read that scripture in 2 Timothy, I might have missed this whole thing. And I might have stayed and kept living in this fear, this anxiety that when voices escalate, when voices get out of control, when there's frustration in my home, I literally feel like things are out of control. And it stems back from my home being out of control. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of the devil that he wants me to live in that fear so I miss my blessing. So I don't go after my blessing. So I hold on to my own fears so I don't plant new blessings in my life. I need to read the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the souls and spirit and the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of thoughts and the intent of the heart. We need to let the Word of God guide us. Examine yourself with the Word of God. and recognize what the Word of God says about a situation in your life. 2 Timothy, God spoke that to my spirit, and I said, I've been living in a spirit of fear. I've been living that way. But God has given me a sound mind. He has given me power. He has given me power over the devil. He has given me power over this fear because He's given me sound mind and power. So we need to let the Word of God guide us. So if you've been holding on, if you've been afraid, if you've been scared, if you've been holding on to old things like I've been, and I'm working through them, I felt it today. I spent time home today, and I said, Kelly, go do your thing for a couple hours. I could feel it today with my two kids at home, my son and Riley. You know, they're starting to whine and cry, and voices are going up. I could feel it today, but I spoke over that. I spoke over that fear, and I spoke over that out-of-controlness, and I said to myself, this isn't real. This is an old fear. I am a new man in Jesus Christ. Can you give me an amen? So if you're holding on to those, I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray that you let go. Let go so you can grow. Let go so you can plant new seeds. Let go so you can reap a harvest. Don't block the blessing. The blessing is in letting go, sowing new seeds, reaping a harvest, and doing it all over again. And that's the nature of God. So let me pray tonight, and then if you want me to pray for you, I will do that. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' mighty name. God, I pray against fear. I pray against that fear of poverty, that fear of lack, that fear of scarcity in Jesus' mighty name. And God, I pray forth blessings in Jesus' mighty name. And God, I pray if anybody is holding on to anything, whether big, whether small, God, I just pray that they give it to you right now, whether they tell me or they tell you, Lord. I just pray that you move them from burying to growing, from rotting to growing. And Lord, we pray blessings over everybody. We pray safety as people travel in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen.
You can give him a better hand than that, can't you? Come on, give him a hand. Come on down here, Brad. You know what's profound about what Brad was sharing? You can indicators. I was in a training on Monday, and the training was on rejection. And rejection's a fear for a lot of people. And to go into what we learned together is a lot to say. But fear is an interesting thing because we can cast out imaginations. How many of you know that scripture? Philippians. We can cast out imagination. Fear is an imagination of something that will be repeated. And that's why I started by saying we need mentors. We need the Word of God in us. We need to relinquish our control to our Creator, Jesus, and we need mentors to speak into us. So I just want to do something, and then I want to encourage you to do the same thing when you interact with people that you love and that you care about. And so will you bear with me a second? I just want to tell you, Brad, that you are so valuable, that you are a son of God, that you are a son to this house. You are a leader. You are a father. You are valuable to the kingdom of God. As you lead, as you serve, as you demonstrate what God is doing in and through you, you are changing lives in this season. You mean so much to us. We care so much about you. You are so valuable in the house of the Lord. And as we do that to each other, as we validate each other in Christ, fear leaves. Amen? Come on, do you believe that tonight? Just stretch your hand towards Brad tonight. Father, we say that we are thankful that all those years ago, you sent your servant. That you had a purpose in mind, a purpose in particular in mind for Brad. That you called him to this season to lead and to be transparent about where he came from so those that are suffering the same can move forward. Thank you, God, for the great gifting and anointing that you've placed inside of him to lead people, to encourage people, to lift up the brokenhearted. Father, we just say thank you for him, for Kelly, for his children, for his family, and the people that have the great ability of gleaning from him. We just say thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord, tonight, that you're working in and among this house. Thank you that you're, thank you, Father, that we are leaving fear behind. We are leaving old mindsets. We are leaving imaginations behind, Father, and we're moving forward in faith. We embrace faith tonight in you and not fear in what was and what could be and what could have happened. Father, we're embracing faith in you tonight, and we just say thank you for it. Thank you, Father, that every good and perfect gift comes from heaven. Father, and we just receive those good gifts tonight. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? And I just felt tonight that there is more than one here that is struggling with fear, that you're even waking up. That's what I heard, that you're waking up late at night. I want you to come right down here. I want you to get prayer tonight. I want you to receive of the Holy Spirit tonight. We love you so much. Hey, I just want you to know we appreciate you so much, just like we appreciate Brad and what he does for God's house and what he means to God's people. We love you that same way. Thank you for coming out tonight, and we will see you Sunday. I better see you Sunday. Amen. I'll see you.